What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Off-Field Generals podcast, brought to you by Tuned In Sports. It's your boys. You got Wiss, Hunter,
what up?
Devin.
Oh, yo.
Devin.
Gotta love some Devin in the studio, dude. Gotta love it.
You have 30... Wait, hold on. Okay, you have 30 seconds to talk to Alex about how BYU is the best team in the country and Utah sucks.
I'll listen to it.
I just want to start by saying this to all the Utah fans. Okay. I hope not Alex I'm seeing on Twitter right now.
Okay.
Saying that Zach Wilson is not a legit quarterback because of the...
I can't back those idiots up. I can't back them up.
I just want to state this, and I think I heard with you guys on ESPN 960.
Probably.
What about Steve Young and Jim McMahon? And
Ty Detmer.
And even Alex Smith to the likes. Can you say that he's not a good quarterback or ready for the NFL for the competition that he played?
Time.
Come on, man. Talking to
that was
Alex
30
here.
Seconds. But.
And I honestly want to hear your opinion on this, Alex, from a Ute fan.
Right.
That isn't hiding behind a fake name on Twitter.
Maybe, but maybe
not. Do you
not.
Think Zach Wilson, in your biased opinion, is an NFL quarterback?
No, he definitely looks like an NFL quarterback. Like, he's playing really well. He does what everyone is expecting of him and what people expect of a player going into the NFL. I can't argue that.
Okay. Mel Kiper is as the fifth best quarterback in this class, and he's
which
only
is
a
awesome.
Junior.
Listen, I love that. Like, I'm all about, like, boys getting their praise, getting it, right?
Do you...
If I had to, like, now if I'm, like, trying to be like, okay, well, I'm trying to, like, fight for one of my dudes over this, that's different. I don't have any dudes to fight for because they're not playing right now. I got nothing.
Yeah.
Do you wish that Coach Whittingham would have got Zach Wilson up to the U?
Yes. Absolutely.
Here's the interesting part about that is Zach Wilson wouldn't have been starting at the U till like this year at the earliest, right? Because they already
unless,
had Tyler.
Well, sure, but unless like he beat him out. Who knows? Who knows what that competition would have been like?
I don't... Tyler had
it pretty locked in.
But you and
sure,
more
but,
importantly, you had to look at what Zach did at like his freshman and sophomore year at BYU, right?
Sure.
Because that's who Tyler Huntley would have been competing against for the job.
Right. That's
Tyler Huntley wouldn't be competing against third-year starter, junior Zach Wilson.
Fair.
So
I get that.
And
there's some gray area.
But I would be down for it.
One more thing here. I want to hear this from a Ute fan.
Okay.
Do you think Zach Wilson, because I've been hearing over the years, Zach Wilson wouldn't even sniff third string at the U.
No.
Well, because the people you talk to and hear this from are not the people that you should be like taking seriously when it comes to sports.
I just want to hear a Ute fan admit it. Because
I know who's telling you these
exactly.
Things.
Exactly. And it's irritating.
And it's like even
bots
for a
Utah
Twitter fan.
And people around, it's just, oh.
Yeah, listen, man. Yeah, I don't buy that one bit. He would be a starter at the U. He'd be a starter at any program. If he's the fifth best
quarterback in the country.
You're putting him, he's starting at almost any school he goes to, unless you're like, he's going up against like a Trevor Lawrence or a Justin Fields. Like, it's going to be different. But like,
come on. Other than Clemson and Ohio State.
And maybe Florida.
And Florida.
Send him to OU, baby. Get Rattler out of here. I want him, dude, because Rattler sucks.
He'd honestly be good in that offense.
Hey, you called it. You called the Iowa State over Oklahoma.
I knew it was going to happen.
Which, speaking, that's a good time to bring up our game notes. We'll talk about the game notes or our game picks a little bit later, but I thought I had a pretty good week because I had my Ole Miss over Kentucky outright, which was a great upset pick. That hit. You had your Iowa State over Oklahoma upset pick. That hit.
Yep.
Tabo upset pick was Vanderbilt over LSU, which did not hit, but that was also Tabo's only miss of the day. Tabo was 6-1 last week.
Pretty impressive.
You were 5-2. I was 4-3. Luckily, Devin, you and Tabo are a team on this, so you and Tabo are both 6-1.
Oh, I'll take it.
So on a week-to-week basis. We'll also update the game picks or the championship picks. Alex, you had the Dodgers and the Rays. The Dodgers won last night, so they lead 1-0 against the Padres. The Rays, I believe, just won tonight against the Yankees.
I think it's 1-1.
Can you confirm as a Yankees fan, Devin?
I haven't. I've been real busy.
Tabo has the Astros. The Astros are up 2-0 on his A's. And then I have the Yankees, which we'll find out.
Game's not
over
yet.
Tampa Bay is up 8-2 on the Yankees.
What's the series?
It is 1-1.
Oh, I thought it was...
Oh, so the Rays could take a 2-1 series lead.
Oh, I thought they...
Uh-oh. Ooh. Uh-oh, Devin. And
let's
then
go Rays, baby.
Then
well,
I also...
It's looking like they're going to take a 2-1. It's top
yeah,
of the
8-2, top of the 7th.
Well, I mean, the Yankees bats. Can't count
we,
on them.
We do
can't
have
count them out.
You got eighth some bombers. Is...
Yeah. And then I had the Braves, who lead 2-0 on the Marlins. So... all of us are pretty much looking in a pretty.
I could be sitting really pretty if I get both of my homies.
That's
in,
true.
In the World Series, that's
a Dodgers Rays World Series.
Yeah.
NBA championship. No one had the Heat, and I had the Lakers, and the Lakers are up 3-1. So yeah. Looking like I'll win that one. Yeah. We'll do our Super Bowl picks at the end of the show later on. So good. We'll do a snake draft Super Bowl pick style.
Solid.
So I'll be thinking of that. Let's start off, though, with our fifth down weekend takeaways. We'll start with Devin, and we'll work our way around this way.
Okay.
Your weekend takeaway from college football or NFL action?
I'll do a little of both. First off, I just want to state, since I've been back, I haven't been able to say this yet. I'm just super glad that football is back.
Yes.
And just on all the time. It's very refreshing in a pandemic. So my takeaways was I'm real happy with BYU. And it's really cool. I have that feeling I had back in like early or late, I guess 2008 it was, when Max Hall was the quarterback.
Yeah.
And they were winning. 2009. And it was awesome. 2009. And it was awesome. And you just felt good. You felt happy to be a BYU fan.
You also had 2015 and 14.
Yeah, I guess. But it still wasn't like
though.
The Max Hall days, though.
Yeah, but you were on your mission too, so.
Still wasn't like the Max Hall days. Plus, I mean, the... schedule was a little bit harder in those other years in Max Hall's, but still, they were running the table, and it's good to see, no matter who BYU is being put against right now, they're running the table.
Very nice. My weekend takeaway. The worst thing to... I love that football's back, obviously. The worst thing that's happened this year is I've begun to like the Packers a little bit.
Really?
Just...
Jay Swag Daddy?
Listen.
Well, there's Jamal Williams, obviously.
Sure, we got a lot of playing time.
Yeah, a career high in catches and yards this last week.
Yeah.
But I hated Aaron Rodgers. Like, for his entire career. Like, I hated Aaron Rodgers. But now Aaron Rodgers goes on to the Pat McAfee show once a week, and I watch the Pat McAfee show every morning, 10 to 1, shout out. And he has a weekly appearance on Tuesdays with Pat McAfee and AJ Hawk. And he is the most, like, off... likeable dude off the field, at least in these interviews. Like, these interviews legitimately make me like Aaron Rodgers so much. Like, he's just such, like, a cool, funny, chill guy. He's talking crap. He called out the media this last week.
Yeah,
he had the
that.
Quote this week. He had the quote a couple days ago where he was talking about, you know, oh, people say I had a down year, but a down year for me is a career year for most quarterbacks. Like, he's just
that's
so
that's
raw.
That's a freaking mic drop
solid.
Right
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
So raw and just awesome and hilarious on these interviews that I've become starting to like the Packers. Rachel also, if you ask Rachel what her favorite NFL team is, it's the Packers just because she likes the cheesehead aspect to it. And she likes Mason Crosby. But Aaron Rodgers, my weekend takeaway is that Aaron Rodgers may be the most underrated quarterback, like, ever. And it's not that he doesn't get attention and he doesn't get his due, but it's the fact that when we talk about the greatest quarterbacks of all time, who do we talk about, right? We talk about Montana. We talk about Breeze. We talk about Brady, of course. We talk about Manning, Elway, Marino. But Aaron Rodgers, probably just in terms of production and in terms of talent, is arguably top five all time in
right.
terms of most talented quarterbacks in NFL history. And it's probably due in part because he only has one Super Bowl, right? I mean, he has as many Super Bowl rings as Joe Flacco, as many Super Bowl rings as, what's his name? Who was the quarterback of the Ravens in the early 2000s? Trent Dilfer?
Yes.
Is that that's
Dilfer sounds correct.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of guys who have one Super Bowl ring, and the fact that Aaron Rodgers only has one ring when guys like Manning have two, guys like Brady have six, guys like Montana have four, it obviously hurts Aaron Rodgers' case because...
He should have more.
I mean, it's just not his fault that he came in, and when he was getting going, it was the Patriots dynasty, and right now it's the beginning of the Chiefs dynasty.
Right.
Right. It's kind of like how there's certain NBA players who come in just at like the wrong time. Where they're just, there's sandwiched between two dynasties and they just can't win.
Well, yeah, and they also kind of got unlucky. Like, there are just some things that just happened to him. Yeah. Like, that NFC Championship game where the Seahawks came back.
Yeah.
They are down 16 with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Like, third
14,
quarter.
15?
That was the second year. 15, because we went...
The 14 season, but the Super Bowl wasn't.
Correct. Yeah, so, 13-14 year, but 14-15 is the one that happened. And it's just, like, unlucky, because, like, they were up there. Yeah. There are other players that made mistakes.
A Hail
like
the, Mary.
Well, the guy that dropped the onside kick went off his freaking face.
Yeah.
And we got it. Like, he can't control stupidity like that. Like, that's not on him.
It's kind of like a Charles Barkley type thing, where it's just, like, you come into the league at just the wrong time, where it's, you know, you have Bird and Magic and then Michael right after that. But I think in terms of talent, Aaron Rodgers may be the most underrated quarterback we've ever seen. Just because he's not,
on that
just because he's not. When we talk about the discussion of top five NFL quarterbacks, you probably won't see Aaron Rodgers listed. But in terms of talent, he's probably there. So that's my takeaway. Alex, your fifth down weekend takeaway.
So very similar. I put Aaron Rodgers is playing like an MVP quarterback again, which I don't think he hasn't necessarily been. But it's like this year is a little. He's playing out of his mind,
which we talked about last week. Russell Wilson always plays great, but it's always just one guy.
And that's what I'm saying. So now it's like, now this is going to be an interesting year. It's going to come down to three homies, it looks like. It's going to be Josh Allen, Rodgers, and possibly Russell Wilson. So it's
we are only four games in. Who knows?
But the way it's looking, like if this
continues.
But
you could have, I mean, who would have said Lamar Jackson was the MVP after week four of last season? Probably not a whole lot.
Right. That's fair. But listen, it's just that's probably my top three running in.
Yeah. Oh, as it stands right now, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's not even a close fourth.
Right. It's too good. But
I mean, poor Russell. Like, he just has career years, and then it's just like, oh, it just so happens that Aaron
Rodgers.
Bring
me the suit, baby. Give me the Super Bowl. I don't care what he doesn't care about no MVPs. Let's just win the Super Bowl. You know,
like Russell Wilson, the Seahawks are 4-0. He's throwing 16 touchdown passes. He's playing out of his mind, breaking records. Oh, but Aaron Rodgers is also 4-0, playing out of his mind, and he's doing it without his best wide receiver. Really no one else on that offense.
I think at one point we'll get Russell Wilson in the discussion of greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Ooh, Alex?
We have to see. I mean,
I think he's in the tier two all time.
I'm saying as of now, I think down the road.
Dude, unless
he goes on a crazy streak.
He's only 32.
I know,
still
but
got plenty
like,
of time behind
he'd
him.
Have to win like three Super Bowls.
Hunter, I don't mean right now.
Well, I don't understand then, because then like we're talking about Aaron Rodgers has one. Russ has one run. Russ did that in his first 3 years. He went to two in his first 3 years.
Yeah, but that was kind of his defense. His defense got him that first one.
But
his defense got him the first one.
The first one? Sure. I guess we can give him that.
But well, the only one, really.
Yeah, true. But, like, come on.
That's my take, though.
Don't think the talent and the production of Russell Wilson is up to par of Aaron Rodgers.
Let's take into effect.
Sure, Russ has five more years till he's... Aaron Rodgers is 36, and Russell Wilson is 32. 31, 32, something like that.
Well, maybe he's 30.
I came to the... I don't know what it is. I always feel like Matt Ryan is way older than he is. I watched that game on Monday night.
How old is he? Because he just looks older.
You would think that he's like...
He looks like he's 40.
At the tail end of his career, like approaching 40s, and you think he played at Boston College in 06, 14 years ago.
He turns 32 in November.
Matt Ryan is 35.
No way.
Aaron Rodgers is 36.
Aaron Rodgers looks 50.
Yeah, but he doesn't play like it.
No.
Like, Matt Ryan plays like he's old. 38.
Yeah, he's playing like an older guy. That's
like, Matt Ryan is playing 3 years older. Aaron Rodgers is playing 3 years younger than they're actually.
I personally thought Matt Ryan was way older than that, man.
The last, like, years, I've been like, man, Matt Ryan's pretty old. Like, he's probably getting to the tail end of his career. And then I was watching Monday night. I'm like, man, he is so old at this point, because he just looked old. And so I looked it up. I was like, 35. I was like, wait, but Rodgers was part of the 04 draft class, so he's got to be older. So I looked it up. Rodgers, 36. Matt Ryan, 35. But again, Matt Ryan just plays old, and he has for the last couple of years, really since that Super Bowl.
Especially in the fourth quarter.
Especially with Dan Quinn as head coach. Hot seat.
Lots of problems there.
Dan Quinn on the hot seat in Atlanta. But that one's too obvious, so I hope none of you have Dan Quinn as your hot seat. Alex, we'll start with you with your hot seat of the week.
So my hot seat is still Carson Wentz. It's Carson Wentz until Jalen Hurts is starting.
Until week six.
Week six.
So you got two more games.
Listen, I'm impressed it hasn't happened yet, but that's just me. I don't understand.
I can't believe they won.
Listen.
I can't. I mean, it was Nick Mullins.
But Mullins gave it to him.
It was Jerick McKinnon.
Like, Mullins was like, here, I don't want to win. You do it. You do it. I mean, what else do I have to do? Oh, let me just throw it to your guys because Wentz can't throw it to your guys. I'll throw it to your guys. I'll get you some touchdowns.
Yeah, it was a tough to watch Nick Mullins, but I mean, we told Taba last week there was no chance that the Eagles beat the 49ers, and look at them now. That's really why he went 6-1 last week, is because we both picked the Niners to cover that -7 spread. My hot seat is, I have two. First one, Monday Night Football crew on ESPN. I really don't get why ESPN, as like the mothership and, you know, the number one destination for sports, can't put together a decent Monday Night Football crew. Because it's not like you're broadcasting, like CBS is broadcasting 10 games a week, right? Fox is broadcasting 12 games a week. It's not, you have one NFL game a week, and you can't find three guys to call that one game. And it's just, it hasn't been great for so many years.
It's gotten worse over the years.
Sad. Absolutely.
I liked Witten. Witten was kind of fun to have him. And then he was like, I'm out.
But Witten was just overshadowed by Booger.
True.
Like, the Boogermobile overshadowed Witten.
Yeah.
But, like, how have they not just gone to Peyton Manning and been like, we'll give you $100 million a year? Like, what's the price? Name, here's a blank check. You just be in Jacksonville on Monday night. And then Cleveland the week after.
Yeah, why can't they just get like after that? Peyton Manning, because he's got a dope voice.
It's just been on center stage and been so clear this year. And I know it's a new crew and we're still early on in the season. But like the first week, there was the Monday Night Football doubleheader.
Yeah.
When we had the first game.
It was Broncos Titans, the second game. Steelers Giants.
Steelers Giants was called by Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler.
Yep.
And they were phenomenal.
Fantastic.
A day after having called college football.
Yeah. Great.
Well, Herb Street's always going to be phenomenal.
It literally, they called BYU the night before. Or no, they called the Saturday night game 2 days before. And then Monday night, they called NFL. And they did great. And then you followed up with Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Brian Greasy. And
I'll tell you
it
what,
was just a disaster.
They don't even sound like they're paying attention to what's going on.
Chris Levy.
It's like,
like you can't call a touchdown and not even have the right player when one is a white tight end and the other is a black receiver. Like, you can't be like, oh, that's a touchdown for so-and-so who is an African-American wide receiver, and the person who scored was Rob Tonyan, a big white tight end. Like, that's inexcusable.
Yeah, that's rough. That's some rough stuff.
But... And then you had this last week, which he was calling the wrong player scoring touchdowns, but you also preceded that game with Tony Romo and Jim Nantz on CBS and flipping back and forth between CBS watching the Patriots and the Chiefs to then watching Packers-Falcons and the broadcasts of those two games. It's a nightmare at ESPN and the Monday Night crew. Yeah. And they've got to figure it out. They can't keep going through a new crew every year. They just need
to go to Tony Romo and say, we'll pay him more.
Well, Tony Romo's the highest paid broadcaster now at CBS.
I'm saying, pay him a little more. Get him over to ESPN.
Dang
it. I mean, he just signed a contract this offseason. So that's not a possibility. But again, Peyton Manning, dude. I think Drew Brees has like some deal where he might take over. When he retires.
A Manning Brees.
Dude, Brees needs to get out of there now.
That would be
and go start broadcasting.
Nice. Manning Brees, that's all I need. That is all I need on Monday Night Football.
That would be awesome.
Who would be the play-by-play guy? That's the question.
I want Manning's voice. I want Manning.
Yeah.
Manning's a good
personality. But Manning Manning couldn't do play-by-play.
Why?
Could.
Because play-by-play is a pretty finite art.
I think he could.
I think Drew Brees would probably be better at play-by-play.
I don't think you can have a former athlete.
Fine. You need Peyton Manning.
Because it's like an actual like broad, like the former athletes are the color guys because they just chime in with analysis. The play-by-play is like an actual, like you have to go to like journalism school for that.
Right.
Listen, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and the play-by-play guy can be Matthew McConaughey.
I guess it's Reese Davis.
I mean, yeah.
A Reese Davis, Peyton Manning, Monday Night Football booth would be great.
Yeah.
My second hot seat is NFL defenses. Through week four, league-wide scoring is at a historic rate. Total touchdowns, 371, and total points scored, 3,233 are both the most in NFL history through the first 4 weeks of a season. Also, eight teams are averaging at least 30 points a game, the most ever in a single season through week four, and the 51.3 total points per game average, which is both teams' total points combined, is the highest total through first 4 weeks of a season since 1970.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard when you got players like Rodgers, Wilson, Mahomes, just guys that are putting up all these points. But the thing is, all their teams, like the Seahawks, our defense isn't awesome. The Packers, their defense isn't awesome.
Cowboys.
It's like
Cowboys are
teams,
like putting up. Cowboys like points.
It's
if you look
turning
at the Cowboys
into college football,
score.
The SEC, bro. It's just
defenses. Not the SEC. It's turning into the Big 12.
Big 12. Yeah, I like that one better.
The SEC is
no
one
defense,
that, like, has defense. Still.
All scoring, dude. It's
points,
incredible.
Points for the Cowboys, 126.
Jeez.
Wow.
In four games. So that's roughly 31. Points against, 146.
Ooh.
It's incredible.
I don't think there's anyone else. The Falcons have given up 138.
They would have done that anyway.
The Jets have given up 131. The Browns have given up 126.
Look at
the Texans have given
up
126.
I know the Seahawks have given up a lot of points.
The Seahawks have scored 142 points.
What?
Their points against are 109.
What's Denver? Okay.
But that's probably because you played Miami and you played. Who'd you play week one?
The Falcons. Falcons put up a lot of points.
That's true. So Miami.
But that was
Miami
because we went up by like 30, and then they just did this like
what's
last 4 minute
at?
Crazy one.
Denver has 82 points for, which the only teams lower. The Jets are lower. The Steelers are lower. The Titans are lower. The Texans are lower.
And
Dennis
had a COVID
98 points against. So your defense is good.
Yeah.
Washington has 79 points for 112.
You guys are you guys 1-3 right
lives.
Now?
Yeah, I mean, beat the Jets. Does it even count?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
For your sake. For your sanity.
For my sanity.
Jeez,
like
dude.
I said, our mission is to get you to be a Raiders fan. So
we're getting close.
I exited out. I was going to say, what's the Raiders points for and against?
I don't see why you wouldn't.
Honestly, man.
I mean, you can't.
At this
we have
point.
That cat from Boise State right now.
Raiders Raiders points for 111, points against 120.
Well, more points scored. I'll take it.
A lot more, but also more given up.
But I mean
that's fun football is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing scoring, right? I'm hearing touchdowns.
Yeah, scoring's fun.
I mean, the Steelers have 80 points for, 58 points against, but they've also played one less game. Because their game against the Titans was
a good defense.
The Titans have 80 points for and 74 against. So again, they've played one less game. Your hot seat, Devin.
My hot seat, and I know it's obvious, but I just want to say this because I saw a tweet, Off-Field General's tweet earlier today.
Yes.
I presume it was Hunter behind the Twitter account.
Maybe. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
Lots of people with that.
Mine's Dwayne Haskins, and we already know he's on the hot seat,
that
but I just...
Me.
One of your tweets that rang true to me. Why do we throw a young, fresh quarterback right out of college, poof, right into the hot seat, and if he doesn't get it together right away, you kick him to the curb?
Yeah.
It's pathetic.
It's bad.
Haskins isn't good.
It doesn't matter.
But
don't give up
no
on
one
him
else
this,
on that
this
team
early.
Is good. Yeah. Yeah.
And
well,
what's the backup quarterback going to do any better than Haskins?
So the reasoning, I think, to go to the backup... Kyle Allen, right?
Maybe it has to work harder? I don't know what it is.
No, so it's because Allen is from Carolina. He spent his first 3 years in Carolina under Ron Rivera. So he knows the offense.
Yeah, I see.
And Haskins, with Ron Rivera head coach,
they don't get
with
along.
No, there's just was no preseason and a shortened
training.
Well,
it's sounding like there's problems with Haskins and people in that organization.
I mean, like I said, Haskins isn't good.
No,
but again, rookie quarterbacks most times aren't going to be great right out the gate.
No,
especially
give him some time.
Especially if you're putting him on a terrible roster.
Yeah,
like he has no offensive line. He has a great wide receiver. Terry McLaurin's awesome, but he doesn't have a tight end. He really only has the one good wide receiver. His running backs. There's like five running backs. None of them are that great. Antonio Gibson's the best of the bunch, but there's no great running back on this Washington team. The defense is what it is. The defensive line is great. Everywhere else is not good.
You're right. It's a stinky team, but this happens all the time.
Yeah.
You bring someone into
Josh
a
Rosen.
Piss poor organization,
Josh Rosen with
and
the
you
Cardinals.
Expect them to turn it around in a season, and if they don't buy, it's ridiculous.
No, I agree wholeheartedly with you. Although, like I said, Haskins is not good.
But don't give up on him this early.
Yeah. Haskins was a guy who needed to not play right away. Haskins is a guy who you can't put him in rookie year, expect him to be great when he has no help. He went to Ohio State where he had lots of weapons, great offense, and he put up numbers. That's what he'll do in the NFL. He needed to have sat behind a good quarterback. He should have been a late first round pick to a team like the Steelers,
right,
where he would sit behind Big Ben for a couple of years.
Exactly.
And then he steps in and he has Juju Smith-Schuster, all that stuff. So, but I mean, we're seeing the same thing with Sam Darnold.
Exactly. He's been a piss poor organization. Everyone's like, is he ready? Is he the one? Is he the right person? Yeah, he's not a bad quarterback. He just doesn't have an O-line.
Yeah. I mean, the Bills are a perfect example of this, right? Josh Allen comes in to the Buffalo Bills, not a great roster, a good defense. Offense is not that great. He comes in, he struggles his first year. His second year, he kind of picks it up, and now here he is, probably third in MVP voting.
Because they were patient with him.
Exactly. I mean, Peyton Manning set the record for interceptions in a season his rookie year in Indianapolis. Like, we can't expect quarterbacks to step in and be great right away. It happens sometimes, right? It happens with Dak because he goes fourth round to the Dallas Cowboys, who already have the best offensive line in football, and Ezekiel Elliott.
Exactly.
It happens with Russell Wilson because he goes in the third round and he's got the best defense in the NFL for that era, right? It happens for some guys. It doesn't happen for guys who are in those first 10 picks. Those teams are picking in the top 10 for a reason, and it's because they don't have a very good roster. So I agree with you. Although, again, yeah, Dwayne Haskins is not that good.
No, he's not. He's not that good. I'm not that upset about
what they're doing. Yeah, and I'm not saying I'm super high on him. I'm just using him as an example right now because he's the most recent example of what's going on in that
realm. You just don't want to see it happen to Zach Wilson.
Exactly. I hope Zach goes fourth round and sits behind somebody for a few years.
To the Seahawks. Let him sit behind Russell Wilson.
No, because Russ is going to play another 8 years.
Yeah, but like he can learn, though. And then send him to wherever.
I don't know if you listened to this segment on the show today.
I was on enough.
I talked about the top teams.
I saw the list.
So the top eight teams that I think Zach Wilson need the best landing spots for Zach Wilson. Okay, so top eight. So number one, I had the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Sure.
Just because I think, you know, you sit behind Big Ben.
For how long? How much? Like, Big Ben could be done this year.
Maybe a couple of years. Big Ben's got one or like two.
Dude, even getting 1 year behind a quarterback is so valuable.
You've got Mike Tomlin at head coach. You've got a Super Bowl winning culture.
He'd look good in that Steelers uniform.
He'd look good in the black and gold.
Yeah.
And he's got a stellar defense, one of the best defenses in the NFL, and playmakers, right? He's got James Washington. He's got Juju Smith-Schuster. He's got James Conner at running back. Yeah. He's got weapons.
Deontay Johnson, I think, is in the one.
Number two, I have the Tampa Bay Bucks. Same thing, right? Go learn behind Brady.
Good.
You got a good defense. You got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, all those guys. I gave the edge just to the Pittsburgh just because I feel like he would sit behind Big Ben less. Like, if Tom Brady keeps looking like he did this week against the Chargers, he's going another like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the Steelers above and also just a more Super Bowl winning organization top to bottom.
Sure.
Number three, I had the Colts. Again, great organization, good head coach in Frank Wright. And you've got a year or two under Phillip Rivers.
He looks
just
fresh
and
in that
a good defense and a good defense, but just less offensive weapons than the Steelers and the Bucks. Number four, I had the New Orleans Saints. I had them lower just because Breeze is probably done after this year, so there's not going to be much of a chance to learn.
Right, battle out Taysom.
Yeah. Number five, I had the Patriots, just because I mean Bill Belichick. If they sign Cam Newton to a 2-3 year deal after this, sit behind Cam for a couple of years, learn the McDaniels, Belichick offense. I mean, New England's going to put you in a position to succeed. So number five, I had New England. Number six, I had the Vikings. I just think Kirk Cousins, you don't know how long he's going to be there. Also, their defense isn't great, so I had him a little lower. Falcons, Devin. I like the Falcons.
I do.
They don't have any weapons.
No.
They have terrible defense.
They have wide receiver weapons.
Well, they have Julio, but he's always hurt.
Ridley's been doing good. Ridley's a weapon.
But not to these other teams. Not in the same level as these other teams.
He's definitely a weapon.
Also no defense.
Yes.
Bad head coach.
Terrible.
Not the greatest organization. But you sit behind Matt Ryan, who Zach Wilson's personal trainer is John Beck, who has a very close relationship with Matt Ryan. So your trainer is best friends with the quarterback that you would be backing up and learning behind. So I have the Falcons at seven. Number eight, I had the Las Vegas Raiders. just because, again, it's an opportunity. You could probably sit behind Carr for a year or two and then learn. And then eventually when they pull the plug on the whole Carr experiment, you can fill in. You have Josh Jacobs. You got Henry Ruggs. There's some young talent on that offense. Coach Gruden, he's locked in for 8 more years after this in his 10-year, $100 million contract. So those are the top 8 destinations, I think. Obviously, probably the top 3 are better than the other 5. But
right.
That's a small tangent.
But. No, that's a good list. Well thought out.
Thank you. Report card. Speaking of BYU, Devin, your grade for BYU's strength of schedule to this point?
Definitely like a hard C minus, maybe. Yeah, C minus.
So far, the 2 games.
So far, I'm going maybe D plus, C minus.
I don't know. That's a little low for me. I think C plus.
I was going to say, I think C plus is probably a fair. C plus is probably the most fair.
I mean, Navy isn't great this year, but Navy's a Navy's a top tier G5 program. Right, they're coming
out.
Not
this year when BYU played them, though. Like we're talking about.
Yeah, sure. They're not the best. They're the worst of the three.
That's why
teams.
I still think C plus is like a fair.
They're the worst of the three. But again, having to play a triple option team with only a couple weeks to prepare
and stuffing them,
having never played a triple option team.
Don't give me that excuse of we didn't tackle. Division I college football players.
Troy has shown in the past that they are fully capable of going on the road and beating big-time teams. They went on the road and beat LSU.
Right.
Obviously, it's TBD how good this Troy team is, but it's not like Troy is some joke of a program. And then you have Louisiana Tech, who last year shut out Miami in the Independence.
Yeah, that's true.
They lost a lot on defense, but their offense is relatively, most of the guys kind of returned there.
They definitely gave BYU the hardest time out of anyone.
Yeah, so I think C+. I think the coming games... UTSA is 3-1. They play this weekend. You've got Boise State now, San Diego State.
I'm excited
now
on that
the
those
got
on the schedule.
You go into Houston next week. So those are 3 good teams right there.
Yeah. So far, though, I'm still going with a hard C minus.
I think C plus.
Personally.
Fair.
C plus.
But I will like to point out, to me, doesn't matter because what we've seen over the years in the independence era is BYU will hang and beat teams that they either shouldn't beat or, you know, should get blown out by.
Like, they're not this year.
But, and then they'll go to, say, a Toledo or a team like one of these teams
USF.
In the past, and they'll
UMass.
Go and they'll lose to them. Right after you upset USC, then you go and lose, you know? So it's just, they're taking care of whoever is in front of them, and that's what I like.
Yep. Grade... for Joe Burrow's start to his career with the Bengals.
B plus.
Yeah, I'm going B plus.
Yeah, I think he's played really well. He has played
for
well.
For what he has.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's played really well. Finally got his first dub.
Yep. Jags.
I am happy. I'm happy with what he's doing. B plus.
Yeah. I think he has a bright future.
I like B plus. Maybe a B. Because he's
around that area.
He holds the ball sometimes. He tries to force passes or tries to make a play sometimes that he would have been able to make at LSU going up against Texas A&M, but that he's not going to be able to make going up against.
He'll learn that though. That'll
Los
come
Angeles
to him.
Chargers.
that kicker completely screwed one of their games though.
That's true.
To point that out.
Report card. I put this on before the news happened, but your grade for the Houston Texans.
F.
This can be your grade on the field. It could be your grade as a whole. Because do they earn extra points for firing Bill O'Brien finally?
Yeah, they had to. But they have an F to this point.
Right.
Maybe that's some extra credit right there. Maybe that bumped him to like a D.
I mean, 0-4. The strength of schedule was an issue up till this week. Right.
Stop.
Steelers, Houston, Kansas City. But there's no excuse for the Vikings at home.
No, there's no excuse at all in the first place. You are wasting Deshaun Watson's career.
I just feel bad for Houston, though. Like, come on. Like, they just, B.O.B. ruined that. Ruined them. I just feel so bad. Like, Deshaun Watson is such a great talent. So good. What has he got? Will Fuller? Awesome.
David Johnson?
I guess.
Oh.
That's such an awesome deal. Like, The Cardinals, when that happened, you know they were just laughing. They're like, I cannot.
That's another
the
reason
fact
there
that
should
they
be
have
an
the
F.
highest they have the highest payroll.
It's incredible.
They traded DeAndre Hopkins.
Why?
They do not have a first or a second round draft pick, and they're 0-4. I mean, that's an F. That's an F.
I'm glad I'm not a Texans fan.
You got F minuses? You got any of those? Yeah.
Let's skip ahead a little bit. Grade out Matt Patricia's tenure in Detroit.
D plus. Like,
yeah, that's generous.
It's F. Yeah, it's
an F.
It's been
an
bad.
F.
Another
been
wasted
bad.
Talent.
Look, Matt Patricia, Dan Quinn, Adam Gase, we're going to see three coaches in the NFL fired in the next 2 weeks.
I agree.
Grade out the Dallas Cowboys. Your grade for Dallas. Because their offense, we talked about it, they're putting up a lot of points. The only problem is their defense is giving up a lot more points.
I'm going to a D.
I'm going to go C. I'm going to go C for Cowboys. You hear me? C for Cowboys. Listen. But D for Dallas. I don't know. Like, I don't know what we're going to do.
I'm going to go D for Dallas.
Yeah, listen, I get that.
Defense is pathetic.
I think
C minus.
I still think C is fair.
Because their offense has been an A.
Their defense has been an F. Yeah, so it sucks. So I'm going to give them a middle. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
a C. Right now.
Yeah, I hear that. I think C minus, just because they haven't played the best of teams. They played the Rams, which they're good, and they play the Seahawks. Other than that, the Browns and the Falcons, they should probably be sitting at 2-2. Instead, they're 1-3, tied for last in that division. The winner of the NFC East is going to be 6-10, 7-9 at this point.
It should legitimately be
an NFL rule that if the winner of your division is under .500, you forfeit your playoff spot.
Yes, I agree.
I'm okay with it now, right? Because the Seahawks did it. And
well, you were 8-8 that year.
We were 7-9, bro.
When you beat the
Saints? 7-9 in that wild card game.
Wow.
That's actually
divisional round, whatever it was.
Who was your quarterback? Hasselbeck?
Yeah. Wow. That was the first. Because you beat
Bradford in the Rams week 17.
Right, and that was the first
for
year.
For the division.
Yeah, that's the first year we had Marshawn.
Yeah.
And that was Beastquake. That was the Beastquake. It was incredible.
That was awesome.
I remember watching that game and just freaking out because I had no idea that we were going to be doing what we were doing. I was freaking out.
I love it. Let's switch gears to our question of the week. While staying still on the NFL, my question to you guys, are the Buffalo Bills legitimate contenders to win the Super Bowl in this, the year 2020?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
You were big on Bills winning the AFC East this year.
Yeah, dude,
which
they're good.
Not necessarily like that was a hot take, but I tried to convince you it's still going to be Patriots.
They're
good. Yeah. I mean, talk about it. Why are they still
offense,
why are they
I mean, we knew
contenders.
Their defense. I just watching them against Las Vegas on Sunday. They're incredible on defense.
Their defense is not as good as it was last year.
But it's
year,
still like, at
still
least
good.
That's
listen,
the first
so
game
good.
I've watched, honestly, all the way through with them this year. I was getting Norman back is huge.
Yes.
I saw him come in and wreak havoc right away.
Forced a fumble and recovered it.
Absolutely. They're good. I do think with Josh Allen, he's kind of getting some, getting the chair under him a little bit more. I think they
MVP.
Are legit. They have a tandem at running back as Singletary and Zach Moss. That showed a little bit
who,
of...
Zach was out.
Zach was
right, but I'm just saying...
And Singletary
yeah.
carried the whole game.
Yeah, but so, that's what I'm saying. If Singletary comes out and Zach's healthy, it's not like it's a massive, insane drop-off.
No, yeah. I agree. I mean, that's just a credit to Devin.
Yeah.
Singletary. Not, and you, Devin.
And me. Thank you.
Because Zach Moss was out, so you don't have your second guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he still was able to be effective mm-hmm. and help the Bills get to the
They're
get the
firing
win.
On all cylinders. That's why they are a contender.
Third quarters have been, putting it lightly, a struggle for the Buffalo Bills. So if they can clean up that their you know lull of when they come out in that second half, come out of the locker room, they should be good. Here's some facts about the Bills. Their start to the season, they're 4-0 for the first time since 2008. A win this week versus the Titans, if that game even takes place because of the Titans and their COVID positive tests. If they were to play, let's say they beat the play and then beat the Titans this weekend, it would be their first 5-0 start since 1991.
Wow.
They are fifth in the NFL in points per game, fourth in yards per game. Bills quarterback Josh Allen is the second player in NFL history with at least two touchdown passes and one rushing touchdown in three of his team's first four games of a season. Bills wide receiver Stephon Diggs is tied for the NFL lead with 403 receiving yards so far this season.
Josh Allen is good.
There's some passes there, some throws I see him make. Like, listen, Russell Wilson has the best deep ball as far as like you lob it up and get it to your guy.
Yeah, just perfect placement.
But he doesn't have like a rocket to laser it deep. Yeah. Like, where you're trying to get
there. He just kind of floats it into the breadbasket.
He gets it out there, right? It's like a deep ball that's perfect, but
dude,
Josh Allen's ball will go
lasers, bro. Yeah. Like, I'm talking
it'll go
like
50 yards in 2 seconds.
Maybe only Aaron Rodgers can
probably not even that.
Because it's
young Aaron Rodgers. Mahomes.
It is.
It's Mahomes and Allen for strongest arm.
It is incredible
and
how
he
the lasers
is a big boy. I saw him lay out
size of a
tight
looks good in shorts, too.
Heck of a looker in shorts.
He's a bit, yes. We'll get into that later off air. But no, he laid out Van Noy, and I was like, wow, that's a big boy.
I mean, he runs like a running back. He throws like freaking Aaron Rodgers.
He's
I
good.
Mean, not with the accuracy of Rodgers, but his
he's
arm strength
have a career.
Is fantastic.
Health, he's going to have a career.
I agree. He's good. I mean, we've seen young quarterbacks win the NFL MVP, right? It was Mahomes 2 years ago. It was Lamar Jackson in his second year last year. It could be Josh Allen in his third year this year. Who knows? But, I mean, the Bills, it's tough because the AFC is just so top-heavy, right? If it was in the NFC, you would think that the Bills would probably be, you know, first or second favorite, right? You have the Seahawks and the Packers and the Bills.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
and I get in the AFC
because the Saints aren't looking good at all.
No,
and the Cowboys, who many people thought might be a sleeper contender,
they always do.
But the Bills have looked better than the Bucks.
Cowboys year.
In the AFC, I just think the gap, like, there's no the gap between the Bills, Packers, and Seahawks probably isn't as great as the gap between the Chiefs and the Bills.
I agree.
In the AFC, so that's tough. But again. Upsets happen. It's why you play the games. I think the Buffalo Bills, I mean, if this is the year, too, that the Buffalo Bills go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl and Bills Mafia can't be at the games, like, that's the most Buffalo Bills
just hold
thing
the game
to
in
to
Florida.
Fan base.
Just hold the Super Bowl in Florida. They,
what do you mean?
It is in Florida.
Now.
It is in Florida.
Is it?
It's in Tampa.
Did you not see that?
I did.
You can make the games full capacity now?
Oh, yeah. No, pretty much no rules in Florida at this point.
No rules this time.
Which I love. I'm moving to Florida. Honestly, I would love. I'm a big alligator guy.
Bills aren't great, though.
I'm a big wetlands and alligator fan. I hate Florida Gators, but
it's humid.
I like Gators.
I like Gators. I like rocks.
I like Gators. Go Gators. Go Gators.
No, like when I lived in Virginia, my family would go to Disney World and we'd drive. And we would just drive in on the freeway in Florida and there's the little, you know, spillways and ditches alongside the roads in Florida. And you just go and you just count alligators that were hanging out in the ditches down there. So I'm a big wetlands and
Hunter likes his wetlands.
It's just going around the wetlands in like one of those fan boats. Spotting gators.
Yeah,
is
that's
like
pretty sick.
Bobby awesome. Boucher style.
So who knows? I may go to Florida. We'll see.
There you go.
But
anyway,
yeah.
I don't think the Bills have a rough record in the Super Bowl. We know this.
4.
That's so long
ago,
though.
So I rewatched that
4
documentary.
In a row, dude.
That's so long ago, though.
4 in a row? That's pretty bad juju. That's bad juju that lives within it.
I watched that documentary, The Four Falls of Buffalo, the 30 for 30.
Yeah.
What people forget about the 4 straight years is that the only close Super Bowl of those 4 was the first.
Yeah.
Like, the last 3, they just got, like, blown out every single time.
Yeah, it was so dumb.
Like, it wasn't like they were losing to heartbreakers in the Super Bowl year after year. Like, they were close the first time, and then they were just, like, the best in the AFC, but, like, the NFC just dominated. Mm-hmm. Because in the NFC, you had the 49ers, you had the Redskins, and you had the Cowboys, and in the Giants. And then in the AFC, you had, like, the Raiders and the Bills.
Wrong years to be good.
Yeah. Again... talking about
the wrong time,
getting good at the wrong time.
Yeah,
but I mean, if the Bills can go to the Super Bowl this year, and just no Bills Mafia for playoffs or anything like that, if they they haven't hosted a playoff game, I think I don't know. Did they host in '99? Because they haven't hosted. They did not. They were on the road against the Jaguars in '17, and then they were on the road against the Texans this last year in '19.
Yeah.
So they haven't, I know for sure, have not hosted a home playoff game since at least 1999.
They've been
and for
abysmal.
That, for them to play at home in the playoffs this year and no fans, that
would suck.
That's the most Buffalo thing.
Yeah,
lots of broken tables and anger.
They're gonna have a table shortage in the state of in those, the
what,
state of
what
New
are they
York.
Made by that company called Lifetime or whatever it is? So many of those tables are gone. Yeah, we're done.
Well, I think when they played the Titans a couple of years ago, like stores like Walmart in Nashville, like just took them off the shelves and like, we're not selling.
Just because they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
We're not going to have
like
any
Bills
stock.
Fans like infiltrated Nashville and like they're buying up all the tables.
That's awesome.
I think we all agree, though. Yeah. Buffalo Bills are legitimate contenders.
Yes, absolutely.
Barring any like injury to a guy like Josh Allen.
Man, I don't want to see that because I want to see players do good. But if it had to come down to it, right?
If the MVP race came down, if we're getting serious here.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears officially away from the NFL. We've talked NFL up to this point. We did have a little sprinkle of BYU in there. But let's get to our college football playoff four before we get back to the NFL with our Super Bowl picks.
Yeah.
So college football playoff four. Again, we'll start with number one.
It's just easy.
Because there's less agreement towards the back end.
Sure.
You're number one, Alex.
My number one, Clemson.
Okay.
What else?
My number one is Alabama.
That's fine.
Just because Clemson, their strength of schedule has been worse.
Sure.
Like, statistically and, like, all the metrics and everything is worse than BYU's. Like, everyone talks about BYU hasn't played anyone. Clemson has a worse strength of schedule rating.
That's, yeah, no, I agree. I'm with
to this point. Alabama, the way they dismantled A&M.
Handled.
Like,
absolutely.
Never was even close.
Made them their son.
They also dismantled a poor Missouri team, but it's still Missouri.
But A&M's better than far.
Right,
A&M's
right.
A far more impressive one.
Oh, yeah. They had a harder time against Missouri than they did against.
That win over Texas A&M is what they leapfrogged.
Clemson. A&M is phony, man. They are phony.
A&M's always a phony. You're number one.
Clemson. I got Clemson.
Oh, so you're still around?
Yeah.
All right.
Just tell you to dethrone the king.
I mean, LSU dethroned him.
Well, I know, but I mean, like, right now, coming in with Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones is no Trevor Lawrence. He's good, but he's no Trevor Lawrence. And Clemson is still they're just there. I mean, like, of course, Alabama's always going to be there as well.
Yeah.
But I just think Clemson right now are the guys to beat.
You're number two.
My number two is Alabama.
My number two is Clemson again.
Number two is Alabama. Like, it's that's what the top two should be.
Yeah, Clemson, Alabama. You're number three.
Georgia.
Okay. I have Florida.
Sorry. Whoa. Florida.
Okay.
Florida number three.
Just you have no explanation.
Sorry.
I have Florida at three.
Sorry. Yeah, I was.
Again, that offense is incredible.
I still forgot I have notes on this thing, and I'm just looking at it and reading. It's on me.
Kyle Trask.
You're like the Monday Night Crew. You got notes in front of you, but you're still just like, back to you.
The look you gave me, too, when you said Georgia. Georgia.
I know, right? I said Georgia, and I was like, that doesn't sound right. Hold on. Yeah, my bad.
I have Florida. They're tight end. I'm forgetting his name right now.
It's another Kyle. It's Kyle to Kyle.
Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts, there you go.
Yes.
It's Kyle to Kyle. That's what
Kyle it was. Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
Dare I say Tim Tebow, Aaron Hernandez?
Let's the not. Second, maybe? Different ending.
Different
hopefully.
Endings.
Yeah.
For
different
the two
stories
of them.
For the
different
boys.
Different endings for the two of them, yes.
Yes.
But in terms of quarterback to tight end connection
beautiful.
And
beautiful.
College down there in Gainesville.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
You're number three.
I'm also going with Florida. They just seem different this year.
You're number four.
My number four. It's a toss-up. I kind of want to throw one in there that... No, it wouldn't make sense.
Would you throw it in?
I was going to say...
Bring some hot takes.
I was going to say UNC.
Yeah, you're right. That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense with Clemson, so...
Yeah, no, we're moving on.
Well, they're on the rise.
They are, yes. Top 10. Number 4, no.
But anyway, my number 4 as of right now... With all the teams that have played so far, I'm just going to have to...
It doesn't have to be teams that have played.
But it's hard to know. I'll just throw Ohio State in there. I still think with Fields back, they're going to be.
Okay, I respect
it. Maybe you and I will have the same number 4.
Georgia.
No, we don't.
Do
I would have Georgia, but...
So I had Miami last week.
Yeah, I still ride Miami.
But Georgia just dismantling Auburn.
Miami's a phony, too, though. I don't care if they have that QB down there.
Hold on.
They're phony.
No.
Record this.
No, it is recording.
Miami. I'm just saying, like, for future, Miami is a phony.
Well, you'll get. Yes, you will. You'll have your opportunity to prove it here in our game picks.
Yeah.
But no, I respect it. I mean, you make a take and stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah, but
I had Miami last week
Canes.
At 4.
Go Canes.
I had Miami last week at 4. Georgia. Miami did not play this weekend, right?
No, they played. You think last weekend?
This last weekend. Did they play?
I thought they did.
Yeah, no, they played. No, that was the weekend.
Because they played Florida State
2 weeks ago.
2 weekends ago.
Okay.
I don't think they played this last weekend.
Yeah, they didn't play this last weekend.
So they were off. Georgia dismantled Auburn. So I have Georgia leapfrogging Miami. Miami's my first out. Miami's number 5 in my book.
And that's fine. I don't care.
Fair
it
enough.
Is what it is.
Fair enough. Okay, Super Bowl picks, snake draft style.
All right.
We'll start with you.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
You get pick one. I'll do pick two. Devin, you get picks 3 and 4. And then back to me, 5, you, 6 and 7.
Okay. And we're taking 3 each.
Taking 3 each.
Normal. Okay. Yep. Number one, I'm going with the Chiefs. That's just what I'm going to do.
All right.
Doesn't make sense. Why not? Why not?
I'm going with the Packers.
Okay. It's a good one.
Packers.
Go Pack Go.
My number one pick.
Okay. I'm. Can I do the same? Because I'm going Chiefs.
You can't.
No, it has to be a different team.
Yeah, it's a different team. Okay. That's what makes it
because
hard.
Whoever ends up winning the Super Bowl, if whoever had that team down as their choice, the other two have to buy them Buffalo Wild Wings or something like that.
We just said like we're choosing somewhere like higher, something normal.
I'm going with your boys. I'm going to Seattle.
That was going to be my pick coming back.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be mine if y'all didn't take it. So.
Yeah. Okay, next one. You get another. You get back to back.
I really wish I could say the Chiefs. Gosh,
you can't. It's
unfortunate. He's off the board. They're off the board. Again, the same guy.
Coming back, I'm going to put San Francisco in there again, healthy. When they all. All
right.
Interesting.
Not all of them are going to come back, but I mean,
they haven't been healthy yet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's got 2 NFC West teams.
True.
They're both great teams.
I have one in mind, but I just need to make sure that there isn't one that I want more.
Right.
Than this particular team. Let me see. Let me look at this list. Okay. Why is it only showing me half the teams? Okay. Okay. I'm going to go with the... Give me the Ravens. Give me the Ravens.
Okay.
Give All me right. the Ravens.
So I get 2 now.
So you get 2.
I get 2
Your
now.
Last 2.
Okay, I'm going to take the Buccaneers.
It was Ravens or Bucks.
It was
Ravens or Bucks.
So Buccaneers...
It's tough. Once like the first 3 are off the board, like the obvious 3 or 4.
Fine, then the Bills.
Oh, okay. Give me the Steelers. Give me the Steelers. I like the Steelers. I like that defense. Devin.
Give me the Rams.
All of them are the NFC West. You guys, all of them.
Dude, it's so hard after.
No, I love it. That's awesome,
man. It's just because
we talk about the. I mean, the best team awesome, may be man. The one which the best team in the NFL may be the one that wins that division just because it's
Absolutely.
So tough.
True,
it's deep.
Like the Seahawks have to play the Cardinals, the Rams, and the 49ers twice each.
Yep.
If you can get through that with a 4-2 record, you're probably the best team in the NFL.
That's a fair judgment.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have Ravens and the Steelers, so.
I think
yours are all different.
Mine's all spread out.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, yours are spread out.
I just want to see if I can get, you know, then I can get them both in the suit, just like I'm about to do in the World Series, get them both in there.
Oh, yeah.
Big killer.
Let me see. I could get a Packers, Ravens, or a Packers, Steelers. So there's a possibility of me.
Yeah, listen, there's some Bucks, Bills, right?
That'd be awesome.
Bucks, Chiefs.
That would be incredible.
Bucks, Chiefs?
Yeah. Less awesome.
Less awesome.
Okay, game picks. Again.
Oh, baby.
Since Devin wasn't here last week, a refresher, we are not picking the winner outright. Oh. We are picking against the spread.
Okay.
Right. Or for over your under. Pick, you can choose the over-under. So I have the favorite, and I have what the over-under is set at.
Okay.
And you can either choose one of the two teams, you know. So the first one, Florida, 6.5-point favorite over at Texas A&M. So you can pick Florida to cover, you can pick Texas A&M to cover, or you can pick over-under 57.5 points scored. Okay. So that's the first one. Florida, 6.5-point favorite at Texas A&M. The over-under set at 57.5 points. Alex.
So I'm taking Florida, and I'm taking the spread. I think they're going to be just fine.
All right. Your pick. Alex is taking Florida. Give me Florida as well.
Yeah.
The Gators, Texas A&M, frauds. Capital F.
Yes. Always.
Florida, 6.5 points. Hammer that.
Yeah.
Hammer with the way their offense plays and the amount of points that Alabama
Absolutely.
Put up on
All
the Texas A&M defense.
That.
Hammer Florida.
Devin. I'm right there with you.
Florida. Next game up, Texas versus Oklahoma. Red River rivalry in the Cotton Bowl, so no home team per se. Oklahoma coming off back-to-back losses, 2-point favorite. The over-under is set at 72 points.
That so, is Big 12.
Yeah, so listen. I'm taking Oklahoma because they're my boys, and I also think this is going to be where Texas is going to have a fluke, and Oklahoma is going to get lucky. Because Oklahoma's Rattler is not good.
Yes.
He is not
yet.
Good.
Yet.
He is not good.
Yet.
Whatever. He's not good. And I'm...
Yet.
In the fourth
but
quarter.
But it's going to be lucky.
I'm saving you here. Yes.
It's going to be lucky. But Oklahoma, I'm taking them.
Give me the over. Both these defenses stink.
Yeah. But Rattler ain't good enough to score a lot of points.
But it's Texas's defense.
Fair.
So give me the over. Fair. Take over 72 points.
Okay.
I'm with you. Over 72 points. That's just Big 12 football.
There's no defense in the Big 12.
I mean, it's going to be, what, 66 to 53?
Something like that.
Yeah true.
Miami at Clemson. Clemson, 14.5-point favorite over the Canes. Over under set at 63.5.
Slam that Canes button, bro. 14 points? 14 points? You could cover that.
Hammer the Canes.
Hammer the Canes.
I'm not touching the spread.
Come on.
Give me the over again. Give me the over again.
Dude, come
63.5. Both. I mean, you have Derek King and that Miami offense going up against Clemson and Trevor Lawrence and that offense with Travis Etienne. A lot of points can be scored in this game. Give me the over 63.5.
Clemson covers.
I love it.
Miami's a fraud. Watch.
Capital F. We have NFL action. Eagles at the Steelers. Battle for Pennsylvania. Steelers 7-point favorite. The over-under set at 43.5.
Steelers. The Eagles are garbage. Wentz sucks.
Tabo sucks.
If Jalen Hurts somehow comes in this game, then we're all screwed on this Steelers pick. I'm just going to let you know that.
You're also picking Steelers?
Yes.
I also have the Steelers.
Yeah, as it should be.
I bet against the Eagles last week at a 7-point spread, and they won the game outright. But not this week. Steelers have one of the best defenses in the NFL. They're coming off a bye, per se. I like the Steelers there. And they're at home. Colts, 2-point favorites over at the Cleveland Browns. The over-under set at 47. Alex.
Colts. Slam Colts. All the way Colts. Colts.
Yeah, give me the Colts as well. I love the Colts. That defense is for real.
Also, give me the Colts.
Everyone's going with the Colts. I like it.
It's easy enough.
Yeah, that one was probably the most confident one I have all day.
Yeah.
Vikings at the Seahawks. Seahawks 7-point favorites. The over-under set at 57.5.
Ooh, that over-under is enticing.
Yes. Very. 57.5. Seahawks offense and that. Vikings defense.
I'm just sticking to all spreads. Go Hawks. Yeah, go Hawks.
I'm taking Hawks cover as well.
I also have the Seahawks. Yeah, I told you we were picking over-unders, and you were like, let's go, and then you just picked spreads.
Well, yeah, because these ones are better. these are all better. Yeah. I like the spreads better on all of these.
Your outright upset pick.
So, I forgot who they
are. You have to pick an outright winner that's not a favorite.
Okay.
Right, so now I'm just trying to put who they're playing because I have it.
And it can't be a game that we already have on the
list. Right.
Side note, Devin, because again, you weren't here last week.
Right. Where is it? Did I just lose it?
No, okay.
Virginia Tech over North Carolina. That's my outright.
That's Devin's fourth ranked team right there.
Yeah, well.
Upset City.
Good luck.
Devin, your upset pick.
Watch. This is a dumb one, but I'm taking Tennessee over Georgia.
Okay, well.
All right.
All right. Watch out.
I don't hate that one.
Watch out.
I really don't hate them, baby. My upset pick is NFL action. Give me the Panthers over the Falcons, +2.5.
Is that an
Falcons
upset?
Are a dead.
Is it that big of an upset?
Well, they're not favored.
Right. It's an upset.
+2.5.
I guess.
Statistics.
The Falcons are. I mean, if you look at the teams, probably not. But if you look at the spread, it is.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, if I were to bet money line on that, it would pay out.
Yeah. So, listen, I'm with you.
So the Falcons are dead team walking again. Like I said, Dan Quinn's going to be fired in the next 2 weeks. The Panthers, Teddy Bridgewater's finally coming into his own. Joe Brady and that offense in Carolina. Hammer the Panthers this weekend. The Falcons are dead.
Slam it.
The Falcons are dead.
They
fell out of the nest at the top of the tree, and they're dead on the sidewalk. Panthers, hammer it, +2.5 over the Falcons. Any other news or notes or anything you guys want to discuss before we wrap it up?
No, go Hawks.
Go Cougs.
Go Hawks. Go Cougs. Go Pats. Stephon Gilmore has COVID, but that's not going to stop the Pats. And Cam Newton has COVID.
He breathed on Pat Mahomes.
Ooh.
Did you guys see that? Did you see
inside
that?
Inside job by the Bill Belichick? Who knows? We might discuss this next weekend. Hopefully there's NFL action to be discussed. This has been the Off-Field Generals podcast brought to you by Tuned In Sports. Go like, subscribe, review the podcast on any podcast platform. Also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Like us on Facebook. Who knows? Maybe shoot Alex a DM once in a while if you're a pretty lady. That will do it for us here at Tuned In Sports. Peace.